Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The power is on. We're in good shape for this segment, hopefully.
You're not on the Zoom, though.
Well, I'm working on it.
I'm alone on the Zoom.
I'm working on it. I'll get there momentarily. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on? How are we doing?
I am good, guys. How are you?
We're great.
Powered up and ready.
We are powered up and ready. No question about it. Corey, what was your takeaway from NFL Combine Week last week in Indianapolis?
Well, my number one thing was it was the most impressive group of guys that I've ever talked to. I mean, I've been going for 20 years. And that was the best group to just walk in and talk to. They were ready to talk, ready to conversate, ready to answer questions about themselves and to expand on, you know, kind of who they are and the situation that they're in. And so I thought the group seemed extremely professional and extremely focused on the task at hand. And I think that's a good sign for all those guys, you know. No, you don't win the game at the podium, and you don't perform at the podium, you know, but it gives an idea as to who they are and how they prepare and how seriously they take things, and I think that that's a really good sign. And the other thing that continues for me is I just continue to think about the depth of this year's class, and it just reinforces that the Titans need to trade down and get more picks.
Oh, sorry. I'm hearing beeps and stuff. I'm all distracted. What are these beeps? What is that beep?
I don't know.
All right. Anyway, Corey, your assessment of the Mike Florio report this weekend that the Titans and other teams have the trade terms all wrapped up and tidied up, and ready to go.
Well, I mean, he's not Jason LaConfora. He can't just make it up, right?
You wouldn't think so. Nicely done.
So, thank you.
You got to make a Bon Jovi reference in there, but yes, that was good.
Say, you know, that report, is that report living on a prayer or not? I don't know.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Well done.
Look, the depths of it, I don't know. But look, it doesn't just come out of nowhere, all right? He doesn't just go, yep, I'm going to say these things. I mean, that's not how the job is done. So somebody told him something that led to that report. And John Robinson said it. It's his job to do his research on all those quarterbacks at the draft, right? So it's also his job to do his research on the other quarterbacks that are or could be available, because his job is to win the Super Bowl. And as we saw at the Combine, it's really important to him, okay? If you didn't think John Robinson was all in to win a Super Bowl after that performance at the Combine, you're not paying attention. So I think it would be crazy, it'd be naive not to think that the Titans haven't kicked the tires and found out. Does that mean that they would necessarily pull the trigger? I don't know. It could be a lot like the David Poyle, Philip Forsberg, you know, story. You know, he's shopping Philip Forsberg. You know, you're out there finding out, what does it cost? What is it worth? And I think that they would be foolish not to do that. I mean, there's all sorts of crazy there. I mean, that's a front row seat on the crazy train if you buy it. And so that's the other thing to consider.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. So, Corey, with that in mind, as you look at the needs for the Titans heading in this draft, there's a ton of different ways that could go. A lot of it could be dictated by what happens in the next, I don't know, 36 hours with Harold Landry. What were your thoughts on J-Rob's thoughts on Harold Landry? Said he wants to have him back. Do you think that they put him on the tag window if they're not able to come to a long-term deal? And by tag window, I mean, do you think they exercise the franchise tag in the next 2 days?
You know, I think that depends, all right? I think they've got to be in the ballpark to do it, because I don't think they can afford him at 16. I don't know what the tag number is for that position, because it's linebacker.
18.
It's 18. Yeah, to put him down for 18, I don't know if they can afford that, because, you know, if you get him to a contract, you can get that number down to like 8. I mean, you can whittle away at that thing however you want. We've seen that before with guys. Now, but if they think, hey, we're close enough on a deal where we're confident we're going to get a long term, but we just need more time, then yeah. But, you know, he wants him back. There's no doubt about that. Mike Vrabel wants him back. There's no doubt about that. And with as many first-rounders as they missed on for a second term, you know, to actually have a good player here that helps your football team win games, a durable player, a guy who fills a lot of needs and checks a lot of boxes for you, it would be really tough to let that guy walk. But those are the big decisions that these guys get paid to make. I mean, we always talk about, you know, the Patriots in the past not afraid to let guys walk. And I think they get a little too much credit for that because, you know, they traded away Chandler Jones, and he was a pretty good player, right? I mean, he had like 20 sacks in a season for the Cardinals. But, you know, you can't sabotage your whole team for it. I think that's the thing. But, you know, I would think that the Titans are a good fit for Harold Landry, and he's a good fit for them, and that he would be a part of this team. But it sounds like it's maybe a little tougher than they want it to be, and that could just be his agent doing his job.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really interesting. You just don't want to get stuck, you know, with the tag number and not be able to. I mean, I guess I'm sure there have been other instances like this. I can't really recall one exactly like that, but it's one of those things where you really want him, but you really don't want to pay him that to have him. And if you do, then what else gets sacrificed?
Yeah, for the Titans you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, for the Titans. Yeah, I mean, what else? Because you're going to have to sacrifice a player or two that you wanted to have in this team if you can't take that number down.
Yeah, I mean, the number of guys that they've tagged is so minimal. I mean, Derrick Henry, Albert Haynesworth, Bo Scape got tagged once. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of tight end legends of the Titans.
That's right.
Yeah, but we went a decade where they really didn't have players worth keeping. And so, you know, that wasn't really the issue. And now you've got the cap and players worth keeping, and so now it's a real conversation. So, like I said, I think if they're in the ballpark, I think that they'll do it. If they don't tag him and they don't get him signed, they'll let you know they were nowhere close.
Corey, what did Mike Vrabel's comments on Dylan Raiden's about, you know, being ready to start, how he's not at this point, but he could be. That's the charge for this Titans team this offseason. What did that tell you about maybe their thoughts on Dylan Raiden's, and what are your thoughts on him heading into his second year? Obviously, ideally, you want him starting next year. If he's not ready by year two, what does that tell you about what his future could look like?
Well, first off, a shockingly honest comment from someone at the combine.
Yeah.
I was thrown back by it. And John Robinson talked at length about Dylan as well. I think they still have a lot of belief in him. And I think, you know, they put a lot into, he didn't play for a year, and he played at a lower level. And so I think they think, this is my read on what they're saying, they believe the building blocks are there for a really good player. They've just got to put them all together. And it's up to them to put them all together so that this kid can go. And he doesn't have to be the perfect player this year, but he's got to be good enough. Because, I mean, look, you know, was Quisenberry a perfect player? No. No, he wasn't. But he was good enough, you know, to be out there starting every week. So I think there's a lot of hope there. I think there needs to be hope there, and they know it because, you know, you can't afford to whiff on that many offensive linemen, and that was obviously a big topic of conversation. And I think they put a lot of stock into the fact that he didn't get overwhelmed against San Francisco. You know, they've said he played good. I think J-Rob said, all right, good enough, something along those lines. And he didn't try to overblow it. But, again, he went out there and started against a really good team and didn't get embarrassed and didn't get overwhelmed. And I think that adds to their help or to their hope that he can be a guy. And it probably impacts what they do in the draft. Now, this is a good draft for linemen. I think they need to take at least one, if not two, offensive linemen, because they need an interior one as well. But so it tells me they expect him to be a starter when the season starts, and they're putting it on themselves to get him ready.
Corey, anybody else on this roster who you had a certain feeling on, either that, you know, he's going to be on the team or not, that you have a different feeling on now after all the discussions in Indy?
Not really. I mean, because, well, I mean, I think you're getting at Ben Jones. Probably.
Well, it could be. That's one for me, yeah.
You know, because, I mean, I just, again, he's another one, you know, how much does he want? How far into voidable years is J-Rob willing to go? Because they can't, I mean, they can't pay that guy $8 million. They can't. The cap is there. And also, like I said, you know, you're getting older and you're getting expensive. So I still have a hard time believing Saf Holt is back just because of the they need the space. And I don't know how else they get there. You know, TD has been steadfast in saying that Ben Jones needs to be back. And I get that. And was it Vrabel who talked about having the continuity and how important that was? Especially when the season,
yeah,
the dog days of the season.
Well, I asked him about continuity, and he said it's not as big of a deal year to year. You know, he's saying once you're in a season. So I thought that was interesting too. But we like to read into things.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, at some point you got to pull off the Band-Aid and go forward, and that's tough to do with guys who've been good players for you. And believe me, I'd love to see them all back, but just tell me how the number gets where it needs to go, because that's the battle. And again, there are good players who I think can come in and play that position for you, whether you get them in round one or round three and round four this year in the draft. I mean, there's obviously the Linderbaum kid from Iowa. There's the Parham kid from Memphis. I forget his name now because I'm tired. The kid from Kentucky, who's played a lot of football. He played 6 years at Kentucky. But there are guys who can come in and do it. And are they going to be as good as Ben Jones right off the bat? Probably not. Probably not. But, you know, they're also not going to cost $6, $7, $8 million. And, you know, that unfortunately is a part of it. Now, if they can find a way to make that work, that's great. I mean, maybe you do 1 year, $6 million, and you do 2-2-2 with two voidable years. And then all of a sudden, Ben's really affordable for another year. But at some point, like we asked them about drafting that quarterback of the future that you got to draft, they're going to have to address offensive linemen of the future. I know they've tried to. They've actually got to be successful at it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, sometimes 8:15, when Mother Nature cooperates as well. Corey, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
I appreciate it. It was so worth the wait.
Yes, I'm sure that it was.
Thank you. Stopped too.
Yeah, it did too. We're back and running here on the show. Corey, appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, Corey.
All right, there you go.
Absolutely. Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll come back. We'll react to what Corey had to say there. Take your thoughts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The Players' Championship is back with one of the best fields in golf, and now you can take a shot at the Island Green with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get 30-1 odds on Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, or Xander Schauffele to make the cut at the Players. That's right. If any of those players make the cut at TPC Sawgrass, which, by the way, great course, one of my favorite courses out there, you win $150 on a $5 bet. I feel really good about JT, Justin Thomas, to make the cut. I think he does well and is a contender to win the tournament, but you take it any way you want to take it. There's no better time to get in on the action than when FanDuel Sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app with promo code ROB to get 30-1 odds on JT, Colin Morikawa, or Xander Schauffele to make the cut at the Players. Sign up with promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. A max bet of $5. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning. Our text line at the moment is down. We'll take your thoughts on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Corey Curtis for joining us in the last segment. Always love getting Corey's thoughts on the Titans. He had some fun at the Combine last week. You can tell. Corey's one of those guys who loves the Combine.
Yeah.
He was up there last week.
Corey, TD.
Oh, yeah.
Who else? Who else just loves the Combine?
Jared was live tweeting 40 times the other night.
Yeah.
He was watching it on the show.
So, yeah, so, well, so, okay, so Corey and TD went and covered it. They like covering it. Jared is,
he's a watcher.
Contributes to the ratings.
Yeah.
Watching the combine. But, hey, it's over.
It is.
So that's cool.
It'll be back next year, though. Yeah. Maybe in Indy. Be good stuff.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, too. I think there's a big sentiment from a lot of the NFL world, like, please keep it in Indy, but yeah. I don't think they're going to.
Well, honestly, though, like, we talked about the big events that Nashville could host. I'm sure that they could do a fine job with the NFL Combine at some point, especially if there's a new stadium. You talk about something I could not care less as whether or not Nashville hosts is the NFL Combine.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, it's not an event.
Right.
Like, it's a lot of people come into your town. Like, you'll get, like, if you're Nashville, it's like, yeah, bring all the coaches, GMs, media here for a week. And sure, that's, you know, they'll spend a lot of money here. But it's not, I mean, you know, you'll get shots of Nashville. And then here we go into where they're going to do some running and some interviewing.
Here's Hendon Hooker, the 40 time. Yep.
Yeah, and you're going to have, I mean, I don't know because I didn't watch, but, like, we interviewed John Robinson in these stands at the convention center. They had these, obviously, portable stands around the bench press is where he was. Like, how many people at the max were in those seats to watch the bench pressing? I don't know.
Seven.
I
have no clue.
So, I mean, that's, yeah. No, that would not be but some big thing. Now, I think Nashville works for it like Indy because it's because of the way downtown is set up. It could work pretty well. You have it at the Music City Center and, you know, and everybody all sent. I mean, that would be – it's one thing that, you know, and no one really cares about this other than media, but a big media thing, if you're a beat writer in the NFL or if you cover the league at large, being near all of the coaches and GMs is a great week for you from a reporting perspective. And if you're like in LA, it's like, you know, it could be, you know, it's
miles apart.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a totally different thing. You can't go find all these guys in one spot, you know, and make the rounds. Not that, again, who cares about that? Only media people. But I'm just saying that's one of the reasons that they are clamoring for this to stay in Indy.
What do you think of Corey's thoughts on the Ben Jones situation in terms of maybe this is the time you've got to move on from him? The voidable year stuff, which that basically got introduced to my vernacular last year when we started talking about voidable years. That is something that's going to be fascinating to see how J-Rob uses that as he moves forward here. What are your thoughts as we sit here today? 1 week, a little bit over a week before free agency begins in the NFL on the Ben Jones situation. You think he's back next year, or do you not?
I'm leaning more toward no, and I hear what Corey's saying. I mean, he's right. Like, at some point, it's like, look, it hurts, but you've got to move on. I think part of again, how much do you want to go into a statement and really analyze it.
Yep.
Because another thing that Vrabel said a couple times when, you know, I asked him about Ben Jones was, you know, he mentioned performance, right? So he mentioned performance as in almost like Ben Jones, really good leader, et cetera, but still, what's the performance? Okay, so here's the quote. Continuity is important. I think understanding Ben does a great job, always being available. Whatever his level of play is, his available and durability is something I've respected the most. The husband he is, father he is, teammate he is exceptional. Performance on the field is available and durability is something on the all is admired. You know, so there was a comment that made you think, okay, maybe it's performance, not great. Then there was a comment that said, I'll always admire. Again, something I'll always admire. You know, he may as well have been waving while he gave this quote, but maybe that doesn't mean anything, and they'll bring him back. I think they should bring him back because I just think that's if you can get him for like $5-6 million. The problem is if you rip off the Band-Aid, as Corey said, okay, you're also going to do that with Saffold. So now right there you have two spots right next to each other that are going to be all new, and maybe, you know, one of them at least – manned by a rookie. It's just, how are you better up front?
Well, and then
doing that
Well, then it also becomes at that point, like if Saffold and Jones are both gone, it then becomes, you know, what position is Dylan Radin's going to play? Because if it's right tackle, then you're talking about three new guys on the offensive line at that point too. If he's not going to fill in at left guard, look, I know Aaron Brewer has played a lot, and maybe he's the answer at left guard. I don't know. But if Dylan Radin's is your right tackle and you get rid of Saffold and Jones, that's three new pieces starting on your offensive line. That's a big deal.
Yes.
It's a lot.
Right. I think that that's still the most likely scenario for Radin's to be outside. And I also think, by the way, that like Questenberry would be important to have as, you know, a competitor slash backup.
Yep.
If Radin's falters outside. But then, yeah, like you said, so now the interior. To me, then you would be addressing that with the draft in some way, I would think. Are you addressing it to the extent of hoping Tyler Linderbaum falls to you or something like that? I don't know. But there's a lot of other ways you could use that first-round pick.
Well, and then it gets back to the getting great around Ryan Tannehill. The offensive line is part of that. I don't think there's any question about it.
Huge part of it.
But so is wide receiver. So is tight end. And if you're having to expend all these resources trying to replace Roger Saffold and Ben Jones and who knows what the right tackle position looks like, I mean, at some point, you don't have enough resources to address all that stuff.
Yeah, so you save money if you cut Ben Jones. Sure. You save money, you cut Roger Saffold.
But if you're replacing Ben Jones in the draft with Linderbaum, that's a first-round pick you're not using on a wide receiver right there.
So maybe you're going with Brewer and you're going to draft middle round to hope to find your next center. And now you're using that money, that extra money, on tight end and free agency, and you still, you know, use your first-round pick or receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, it could work.
Sure.
But it is to expect that offensive line to be better than this one, I think, is a leap.
Well, and then there's pressure on him regardless. But Taylor Lewan, like, he has to be more often than not vintage Taylor Lewan next year. He's got to stay healthy. Because if he doesn't, I mean, you're in a world of hurt on the offensive line at that point. So there's a lot riding on 77 next year to be healthy and available, number one, but to be good. And I thought he got much better as the year went on, but they need him to be fully healthy, fully available, and fully capable Taylor Lewan next year.
Oh, no doubt. And Nate Davis needs to be his best self and healthiest self and all that, of course, too. And so if you're really strong at left tackle and right guard, okay, well, you can help those other positions come along. But then you get into, like, Radin's needs to have the exact offseason Vrabel talked about last week, like just a different player. Which, look, this can happen, I think, especially when you talk about lower level, COVID, didn't have a season, all these things. Like, all those factors, to me, does make it more likely that a Radin's could be a much different player in his second year than his first year. Some of the things that have led to his rookie season actually could, you know, mean that, like, you can't just peg him as a bust right now or as a disappointing player.
Coming up next, we'll get into the Aaron Rodgers report by Mike Florio over the weekend. What do we make of that? Could the Titans really be a landing spot for Aaron Rodgers? We'll get Joe's thoughts on that coming up on the other side. Darren McFarland ahead at 9 o'clock as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hanging out on this rainy Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on a big weekend for the Nashville Predators. They destroyed the San Jose Sharks, 8-0 the final on Saturday, setting up a huge week here at Bridgestone Arena. We'll get his thoughts on that coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. Speaking of the Predators, I got some tickets to give away to see the Predators take on the Dallas Stars tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Dallas Stars coming up tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena. This is testing our professionalism here today on the show, which is not high to begin with.
Is this my heart rate?
I don't know. I hope not.
It's stable. It's kind of fast. And then it goes out at times, so that's not good.
the power outage on the show earlier. That was really – sometimes you just got to keep us on our toes here on Robbie and Rex Road. See how we respond to things.
Yeah, very well. And on Zoom, if you're watching, it keeps cutting in and out like it's trying to connect right now. So I don't know what's happening. Is that the Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
But see, the Wi-Fi, my computer says that it's working.
It's lying to you.
Yeah. So
Big day. You're on the show.
Yeah. We're handling this very well.
Yes, we are. Joe Rexroy, what did you think of the Mike Florio report over the weekend from Pro Football Talk? That and it says, quote, this is coming from his story on Pro Football Talk. Quote, Aaron Rodgers reportedly is torn between staying with the Packers or moving on. So if he'll be moving on, where will he go? Per a source with knowledge of the situation, Rodgers has specific deals lined up with other teams, and those teams have trade compensation lined up with the Packers. The potential moves have been arranged essentially with the permission of the Packers, which is an interesting nugget that he has here in the report. Their destinations are believed to be exclusively in the AFC. To little surprise, the Broncos are one of them. Other viable possibilities are, we're told, the Titans and the Steelers. So obviously, that raised some eyebrows around here. I think it was late Friday night when this report came out from Mike Florio. On Saturday morning, Schefter came out with a report, as did Rob Domofsky, who covers the Packers for ESPN, and Matt Steinman, who covers the Packers for The Athletic, basically refuting this report that the Packers have trades lined up with other teams. What do you think of this from Florio? The reporting of this story, the reporting by Schefter, Schneidman, and Domofsky the day after, basically refuting this story. What did you make of the Aaron Rodgers, the latest twist in the Aaron Rodgers cycle this weekend?
Thank goodness the beeping stopped before I talked. You did a great
job.
Took
one for the team there.
Powering through there. So, okay, so let's follow all the reporting on this. First of all, I don't know, you know, obviously Florio's source. I know that Florio is, you know, he's gotten some stuff wrong. I feel like maybe there's some chance taking sometimes with Florio. But again, like, to be clear, you know, Mike Florio isn't just going to write this out of the blue. He has a source that I have to believe is on some level of knowledge and respectability who could give him this information. So the Packers reporters come out and refute it. So obviously you expect the Packers reporter sources to probably be tied to the Green Bay Packers.
You would think so.
So internally, they are saying that's BS. Doesn't mean it's not true, but that's what they're saying to them. Now, Schefter is someone who you expect to have a more global handle on things on both sides of something like this, and he dunked on this report. Schefter also hasn't had a great year.
He is not.
He's had some of his moments too, including the weird clinging to Derrick Henry's done for the year when, like, pretty quickly from the start, everybody around here, me included, and Rappaport, it was getting totally different information from, you know, from sources who would know, and he stuck with that. That's weird.
It's very strange.
Because I would expect, I mean, in general, if you said, okay, Florio is reporting, just take away whatever it is. Say, Florio's reporting something, Schefter's reporting something, and they totally oppose each other. You must pick one side or the other to believe. Who's reporting do you trust more? I would go with Schefter.
Yeah.
I mean, the track record is Schefter breaks a lot of news and has very good sources of the league, so... So I did some calling and texting and whatnot Saturday, which is very annoying based on this whole thing. And first of all, I had some off-the-record discussions that were – I was told this is staying off the record. So they will stay off the record. I won't discuss what was discussed off the record. And then, you know, there's random – you know, some other information I kind of came across. Bottom line – I agree with Corey. I mean, if you're a Titans fan, I would want my GM to at least, I don't know about the whole, like, you know, the trade is done. Here we go. And you just push the button and the trade is, we got it all, like, it's all in a nice, you know, Excel file. Here's what you're getting. Here's what we're getting. Boom. It's just so easy. It sounds a little bit far-fetched. But I would agree with Corey that that it would make sense for John Robinson or any GM to explore all this. You want that. You want to do everything you can to try to win. And even if you're saying, no, I've not made a call about Ryan Tannehill, or expressing every confidence in Ryan Tannehill, which John Robinson's done, you still, like, as a Titans fan, you should want him to get into that. I came away from Saturday believing there's zero chance the Titans will get Aaron Rodgers. So, however that is, whether this is BS and Florio's source is wrong, or there's some truth, but maybe it's just a little bit wrong, or even if it's right, Aaron Rodgers, I believe, is going to be on the Green Bay Packers or the Denver Broncos next year.
Yeah, and I think that's hopefully the widespread belief at this point. I mean, the Broncos, we've been talking about the Broncos and Aaron Rodgers for over a year at this point. I mean, it's been a long time that we've been talking about this. I don't know. I look at this report and the fact that I guess the Packers have been so public about, you know, they're not taking any calls. Like Gutekunst said last week that he's not had one single person speak to him about Aaron Rodgers at this point. You know, there have been some reporting out there that suggests, and I saw this over the weekend too, of, you know, why would we reach out about Aaron Rodgers yet when the Packers have expressed no desire to do it? Now, if and when that changes, then that's going to change. But there's no point in doing that right now. So, look, I don't know. I don't know how true or not true Florio's reporting is on this. It's just interesting to me that there were reports that came out right after that totally refuting it, and then other sources around the league have come out over the weekend and said, yeah, we've not really thought there's much point to this until they make him available.
Right. So some people are going to say, well, yeah, Gutekunst or whoever, Robinson, they're gonna lie.
Sure.
They lie all the time. And that's look, I mean, there's a lot of things that people in those positions, at least if not flat out lie, they certainly aren't going to tell you a lot of
things. They withhold the truth.
Yeah, that's fine. But remember, this is also the problem with anonymous sourcing, is that they're actually accountable for these things. Like John Robinson, if they end up, let's say they ended up making a deal and they got Aaron Rodgers, you know, and there's some accountability in terms of like, wow, you said you made no calls and Ryan Tannehill's your guy. I mean, no one's going to be mad about that,
right?
Other than Tannehill, probably, right? But like, they actually have their names put to these statements. Sometimes you can't say everything, but the anonymous source who gave Florio this information is not accountable for it,
right?
Now, Florio could get mad at him if it turns out after the fact that it's completely debunked, but I mean, it probably won't be. You know, there's going to be some people that will always believe that these teams had fully fleshed out trade deals ready to go.
Package looks like for the Titans?
I'd love to know. I expect 4 hours of fully exploring that today later on this station.
Maybe from 2 to 6?
Maybe. Jared and Caroline, which I'm going to call that show Jared and Caroline from now on until it's actually the name of the show.
You do whatever you
Caroline's name needs to be on the show. I'm back to beating the drum on Caroline's name needs to be on that show.
You do whatever you want.
Thank you.
It's good stuff. I think we might see a resolution to this. I know I've said this twice now, but I would hope with the tag deadline being tomorrow, like if you're Aaron Rodgers, decision time is you need to have a decision. Like Davante Adams.
Please.
You know, he's talked about, I mean, he's been pretty open about Davante Adams and his future and how he's a part of that. You know, tomorrow would be a pretty good day to probably have that wrapped up. You know, like, if you're the Packers, you're either going to tag him and try to sign him to a long-term deal, you're going to tag him and let it play out, or you're going to probably tag him and trade him. So
I guess you're going to tag him.
I mean, I guess. I don't know. But I'm interested to see what happens on this front. You got free agency starting March 16th. Like he talked about not dragging this out. It's been drug out a little bit.
I mean, it's right now it's a carcass being dragged around by a station wagon.
I mean, I guess it depends on your definition
of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Because it depends on your definition of dragging it out. Like, is it going to go till August like it did last year? Probably not. But we're getting close to being drug out at this point.
I mean, I feel like Aaron Rodgers, you know, he always came off as kind of like an arrogant guy and all that stuff, but I really like him a lot less now than I used to. I'll just speak for myself on that.
Ask me again in 3 days.
Yeah. There's a little bit of information you need before determining how you feel about him.
Yes, there is. us. When we come back, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donicus and Chase, also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Big win for the Predators on Saturday, setting up a huge week this week at Bridgestone Arena. We'll get Darren's thoughts on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.